On this day of sacrifice, we remember the one that made the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of this world, so that we would know freedom. And I pray this morning that we would know your freedom, worshipping and learning from you in this main building. We pray for big and crashing kingdom kids. We pray, Lord, that you would surround them with your peace and your presence, your love and your joy. We pray that you would ignite leader and young person and child alike. Lord, wherever we're going now, we pray that we would know you and be encouraged by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, friends, time for big and kingdom kids and creche to go. The rest of you can take a seat. Thank you to our wonderful worship band for leading us in worship of the King of Kings. Fantastic. Thank you, Dorothy and Andrew, Abigail, Andy, Hepzibah and John. Fantastic. You have a great morning, young people. There we go. And for the rest of us, as I said this morning, we did this at St. James last week, St. Luke's this week. It's our annual Matt's update. You will remember that our vision is to reach and transform our town with the love of Jesus here. It's a big vision. John's going to now come up and give us our reading, one of our readings from the Bible that's really inspired this vision. You will know of our value statement there down the bottom of the slide. Whitfield Parish is loving Jesus, loving each other, and loving our town. We know that this vision comes out of our love for Jesus. It comes out of relationship. Relationship is always primary. Then how we love one another. Because we're not a great advert for Jesus to our town if we don't have that renewed sense of love for one another. And our desire is to share that love with the whole of this community. That's why we've got a big vision to reach and transform our town with the love of Jesus. We know that we need to go in our various ways to do this. And this reading this morning from Luke that John's going to read is one of the things that forms a basis for this vision that we have and some instruction from our Lord himself. Thank you, John.
As Andrew said, the reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 11 and then jumping to verse 16. And if you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1041. So that's Luke chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, John. You heard there about the wonderful God, the sending God. You heard there about Jesus. That was fine, that slide that was on. That was fine. There we go. You heard there about the wonderful God, the sending God. These people had been with Jesus, and then he sent out the 72 to say the kingdom of God is near. But he was fantastic, because he didn't send them out on their own. He sent them out as team. He sent them out in twos in that case. And we see the disciples going out into the land to spread the good news of Jesus. You would have heard in that scripture that some people are up for it. And some people welcome that message. And you would have heard in that scripture that some people are never going to want to accept that message that they heard, that the kingdom of God is near. I hope you would have heard the excitement and joy of those 72 as they came back. Did you hear the last bit of the reading that John did from Luke, which said they came back filled with joy? Even the demons submit to your name, Jesus. So they came back with stories as they went from Jesus out into the community, back to Jesus, sharing the stories of joy, encouraged as disciples and built as disciples. And Luke 10 and also Matthew 28, which you will know the Great Commission, again tells a similar story. Jesus' last charge to us. He said, go, not stay in one place, but go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And wonderfully, because that's a scary thing to do, he said, I will be with you to the end of the age. And we know that he sent his Holy Spirit as we do that. You would have heard also from Psalm 78, that call to make known the deeds, praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to the next generation. So these are some of the scriptures that inspire our church vision. And if you can move it on, please. I've been trying to lead us over the last 4.5 years in two movements. From a come to us church, parish, where we say come into our building, sample our service or event, and we hope that you come to know the Lord, all of which is valuable, please hear me. To this kind of go to the people model, to have a mixed model. I've been trying to lead us in this movement. The second movement that I've been trying to lead us in is from whirlpool to launchpad. Sometimes church can become, we get so focused on the buildings and the finance and the rotors and everything like that, that we end up all our energies going in to just providing church services on Sunday, which are wonderful times to meet together. But that can become a whirlpool rather than a launch pad. And our hope is that church, in terms of Sunday, and what we do in the midweek to learn together, becomes a launch pad to go deeper with Jesus and to share his message. Next slide, please. I wanted to be organised in doing this. Now, of course, we reach and transfer, the Lord reaches and transforms our town with the love of Jesus in many ways. But one of the things that I put to the clergy wardens and then the PCC and then the church more widely was these primary vehicles of missionaria teams. They're our primary vehicle to reach and transform our town with the love of Jesus. We will do that in a myriad of individual ways and as St. Luke's and St. James's. But also, these missionaria teams are something that gives us flexibility and intentionality in reaching out. You will see the picture of the funky little Jeep there. I often refer to St. James and St. Luke's like two big red double-decker buses with their engines taken out. They're brilliant places to gather, but these missionaria teams can be our funky little Jeeps, because they can be mobile to reach these communities. And you will know that we now have 5. We have one for the High Street, one for Flame, schools and young families, one's on the Gamesley estate, what we call the Whitfield Breeze in Whitfield, and the St Luke's area was our last one last year that we launched a year ago. Now, I put Shirebrook there because there is a group of about six or seven meeting to pray for Shirebrook every month. And that group actually did something for the Queen's birthday on the green, right in the middle of Shirebrook, and got 150 people come in the rain to there, and we gave some gentle proclamation of the Lord there. I know that they're planning an open-air carol service on Shirebrook coming up in December. So it's fledgling. That's why they've got a little question mark by them. We're just seeing if that grows to really reach that community of, I think it's 950 homes up there. So these are our mission area teams. You're going to be hearing from them this morning, where they're at to on their journey, for your prayers and hopefully for your encouragement. Next slide, please. Just so people know, just to be reminded, because I realise that sometimes we forget or haven't heard. Mission area teams are groups of between 10 and 20 people who commit to reaching and transforming an area or people group in our town with the love of Jesus. This is a new way of doing discipleship. Hopefully as team, as they go out, they're learning and growing, sometimes doing quite scary things that they're not used to grow as disciples. When they read the word together, they're saying, what does this say for Gamesley? Or what does this say for Whitfield? What does this say for schools and young families and so forth? What does this say for the St. Luke's area? When they pray, they're prayer walking around those areas. They're praying, Lord, what are you asking us to do to grow as disciples, to share your word of life in this area? So missionary teams, how they do that? They're formed in prayer. They're formed with acts of service and community gathering. Hopefully it should always be their aim to share the words of Jesus and be bold in doing that. The works of Jesus, both the miraculous works, praying for healing, words of knowledge and so forth, as well as the sacrificial works, the washing of the people's feet in those terms. They will know the wounds of Jesus. They will know that this will have a cost to time, time and money and prayer. And they should be walking in the ways of Jesus, as all of us as disciples should be, compassion and justice and so forth. So this is a new way of doing discipleship. I always say it's low control, high accountability. I hope that the mission area teams, someone said I gave them one idea last week, but I would hope the idea is that Vicar doesn't come and say, right, this is what you're going to do in the St Luke's area, or this is what you're going to do in Whitfield Breeze. That the leaders and those teams are discerning, God, how are you calling us? I trust those teams to hear from the Lord. So they're low control from me, but they are high accountability. If they say we're going to give a welcome pack to everyone on the new estate just up north of Heath Road in the St Luke's area, then the accountability is, when are you going to do that? Have you done that? And I know that all of these groups have followed through on what they're saying. So hopefully, that's a little bit of background this morning. You may have heard all of that several times. But I know that sometimes we need to keep reminding ourselves of the message. So I'm going to invite Tracy up, and Tracy's going to go first. So we're going to hear from three mission area teams now, then we're going to worship again. I think we're then likely to have our act of remembrance, depending on the time when that comes, and then we'll be hearing from our final two. So Tracy leads the Whitfield Breeze. Matt?
I yapped on for ages last week, sorry. Thank you, Tom. So, Whitfield Breeze, we started 2.5 years ago. Next slide, please. You just need to keep pressing the buttons till they're all up. Yeah. So the first thing we did as a MAT team actually was pray. But then we decided to birth the cafe, community cafe, on a Thursday afternoon. Just keep pressing, Tom. Keep going. It's until you get to prayer needs. So, yeah, we started that 2.5 years ago. It was birthed from an original life group that really had a heart to reach out to the area. What we've done over this last 12 months, since Waterfall stopped meeting on a Sunday afternoon, the food parcel administration has been done through the cafe, which is a wonderful legacy from the hard work that was started and that went on for quite a few years there. Following that, within the space of 4 days, I think it was, that I'd nothing to do with me and everything to do with the Lord, was that this Bible study started. At the beginning of the year, you remember we were doing the one-to-ones. So somebody just said, oh, I'm having a one-to-one. And then somebody else said, well, can I do one? So then this Bible study appeared out of nowhere. God gave leaders and materials for that. Other things that we've done in the cafe, and when actually people at that afternoon Bible study, then some of them are now doing Alpha. So for this term, we're not actually meeting as a team. We're supporting Alpha. Some of us are helping to lead groups. Others are praying faithfully because we do prayer walk. We've prayer walked since it started. And so they actually meet in the back room of the church and support the Alpha course in prayer. There are other examples of things that we do up there as well. The poppy that you can see that I'm wearing here was knitted by a lady who comes to the cafe. She just came with a friend, like Andrew said in the Bible, come and see. She came and saw because this girl lady came to the cafe, and she's donated clothing to somebody who comes to the cafe. She's asked if we, she's got a member of the family who's got links to the co-op, so we get blessings of food by the co-op once a month, which is lovely because this lady is just slowly being thawed out in the presence of God in the cafe each week, and God's moving a generous spirit on her without her even realising, I think. That's that one. So the next slide is the Whitfield Fun Day. Just keep going till it's all up, please, Tom. So you can see we had a great time in the summer, and the idea behind the Whitfield Fun Day is that it's a way of blessing the community. So the community of Whitfield, there are lots of families who may not have benefited from things like at the carnival. It's an expensive time out, isn't it? There's higher levels of single families and stuff. So we put on free activities as a way of really blessing the community. But this year as well, Andrew was roving about with Pietro, asking people questions about faith. Miriam was there with some members of the prayer ministry team. Nick was there as well. And they're just having conversations, chatting with people. Just, you know, and actually some words of knowledge were given. The odd person was prayed for. A baby was prayed for. So it's just beginning those things of sharing the Lord. That picture on the left of the screen where that child's got a blob on his face, it's my favourite from the day, actually. He'd come with his older brothers, he had wet feet, and that's a Christian mum washing his feet. And I just think it just sums up what we're trying to do, really. Next slide, please, Tom. So these are all pictures, if you just keep going till it's up, of everything that goes into the day. So I know we normally say it's low maintenance, high blessing. This is both, because it was a full church thing, I'll admit it. And we can't do it without anybody. Just keep going, it takes a bit to get up. What you can see from these pictures is that there are people on there who actually go to the Bible study on a Thursday afternoon, people who have been on the fringes of church, who actually last year came just to participate, and they were serving this year, which was amazing. But you can see it's a whole, you know, a whole team approach, which we're so grateful for people's generosity of time and muscles and brains. We partnered with the scouts this year, the army cadets came, so it was a whole, you know, we're trying to include the community. Next slide, please. So the partnership working. In the children's centre, it's a real Luke 10 team of peace, really. Started off as a person of peace with the team manager, and that's when we started the Christmas gifts that first year. This year we're going to do it for the third time. So what happens is that the team at the children's centre identify children just in the Whitfield area who are classed as in need. They may be exposed to domestic violence, addiction, mental health issues, anything like that. So it classes them as needing more support, and that's who the centre are working with. So this Easter, we gave 99 fair trade Easter eggs, greatly ordered by Jenny, because she's on our team, which is wonderful. And it had the Easter story in it. last year, for the first time, we ordered the children that were identified with at Christmas. We then ordered advent calendars because they've got the Christmas story in. So that was 55 children last year. I got an email last week saying that this year there are 89 children. So we're funding that from the MAP budget, but then there will be 89 children who we want to follow up at Christmas with a gift. Your generosity blows the team away at the centre. They're just so amazed. So it's as much of a witness to the professionals in the team doing the work as it is to the parents who receive the gifts. Moving on, please. Okay, so looking ahead, the cafe, we just want the Bible study to continue, and we're hoping that's going to be a real form of discipleship from the people who are doing Alpha at the moment. The fun day is going ahead again. That's going to be on the 20th of May next year. So already things are falling into place. There's a local head teacher who'll remain nameless, but is dear to us all. He's even agreed to come and help us, which is wonderful. But we're not chucking wet sponges at him. Other partnerships that we've had was that we had a local councillor. So we had funding for the fun day. And then the partnership we had that recently, a local councillor came to the cafe, joined in with the quiz that they were doing, and then followed Joyce into the kitchen and said, "Can I help you?" So she thought she wanted to wash up, but she didn't. She wanted to give us some money. So, you know, it's amazing because she just said, "I want to support what you're doing." Every week we have to carry a coffee machine over from the church to the vineyard and back again because the cafetiers are on the last legs. The team at the cafe are elderly and they're struggling, so we're really praying in a coffee machine. So we're invited to apply for money. So Joyce stood on Highfield Road outside the post box with the dog and prayed as she put this form in. I think she got some funny looks, but she doesn't care. So yeah, we would just please pray that funding does come through. And the discipleship really is where we take this thing forward about, you know, maybe doing an expression of church. It's just very early days. We've not even decided if we're going to do that. We're just making intensive inquiries. And the last thing really is that we always want to have an ear to what God is saying to us. The other thing I wanted to just say was that a disappointment really was that we've really felt that we were going to be able to reach young people on the estate, and it's just not happened. For whatever reason, it's not happened. We thought we were going to have a youth worker in there as a Christian, and it just didn't come off. So we don't know what's going to happen there. This Christmas, what I want to do is make sure the Christmas story gets out. So the Christmas on the 8th of December, all the guests who come will have a Luke's Gospel given, and the choir are coming, 30 kids, and they're going to get the well good news of Christmas. So there's so many people getting the Christmas story this year, so please pray that it bears fruit. Thank you.
That's fantastic. And it's brilliant. Thank you. It's brilliant to hear. And Pete's now going to come and talk to us about the St. Luke's area mission area team, which is very exciting because it's our newest one and for a year. What I will say about the mission area teams and just the Whitfield story, there's a lovely verse in Hosea which God says, plough up the hard ground. Many people have been ploughing up that ground on the Whitfield estate for years, and the mission area team now continues that work. But it's been great that we've seen six people in discipleship or Bible study group that were not believers or coming to church over the last year or so, which is fantastic. So those years of ploughing up to the ground are starting to get that trickle of fruit now. Pete.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. As you can see, I've got low technology. They've had a lot of trauma on the desk this morning, so I thought I'd give Tom a rest from the slideshows. So, okay. Before I start, though, St. Luke's Mat started probably about 18 months ago, and Sheila Humphreys was leading it, and she's just stepped down the last couple of weeks. So I'd like to say a big thank you to Sheila, because what I'm going to talk about is really all the work and her leadership of the team has achieved over the last 18 months or so. So thanks to Sheila for that. In terms of outreach, what we've been doing in St. Luke's, Matt, first of all, was to do prayer walks. And then we made contact with Reuben's Retreat, which, if you're not aware of what that is, that's a local charity, and they support grieving parents who've lost children. So what they've asked us to do is really support their event. So we've been making cakes. One of our members made some soft toys and took them down, all that sort of thing. And we've offered prayer if they want it. But it's very much them asking us you know, to support them rather than us really go out and forcing ourselves on them. But we've got a good relationship there. We've also got a contact with a cafe across the road in the adult centre. This is something which is run for young adults who failed the education system, basically. So they're going back to learn basic maths and English. And every Wednesday afternoon, they have a cafe. So, again, we've been supporting that. We bought them mugs. We go across and talk to them. We provided cakes, obviously. There's a lot of cakes in this, Matt, as you may gather. So if there's any bakers out there, I'd really like to support us. You know, that'd be useful. We've also got links with St. Luke's School, quite strong links there, which have been fostered through Julia, our outreach worker, the school's outreach worker. And we've got a couple of events coming up. So in the past, we've had a Messy Church event in school. We did Chris Dingle's last year, and we're going to repeat that this year. The next event is the Chris Dingle Messy Church, which will be on the 7th of December. So again, if anybody would like to get involved with that from our congregation, I'd be more than happy to welcome you. More and less work to everybody, as they say. On Wednesday, the 18th of December, we've got a memorial service here in church, which has been organised by the Glossop Carriage Company. Andrew's going to speak at it. And the MAT team are again helping with that, providing support. We've got the school coming in for their Christmas celebration, and again, we've been asked to support that. So there's lots of things going on in the background. Now, and other things which are coming up, which are newer, is that Pat Jones is going around and she's chasing up people who've been baptised here, basically. So she's taking cards to the families of the children who've been baptised here over the last 5 years, I think it is, Pat, isn't it? We started with you. Just to try and maintain that contact and let them know we still care about them, basically. I think Andrew mentioned that there's a new housing estate at the top of North Road. So as people move in there, what we're planning on doing is going with a welcome pack, letting them know we're here and saying, hello, welcome to our community, you know. So, and letting them know that we've got a church at the end of the road if they'd like to come and see us. But just to welcome them, really. In terms of prayer requests, first of all, I'd like to pray, if you could, pray for protection for the team. Because we've had a few, you know, ill health issues and things like that over the past year. One of our team members had an accident when we were out one day. So if you could support us with prayer, that would be very good. But we'd also like you to pray and start thinking about how we're going to use this church building in future. We all know we're going to reorder it fairly soon. And what we'd like is prayer on how we can use this building to support our local community better. You know, make it a real centre of the community. So if you can be thinking about that, feeding your ideas back to me, please, or any member of the team, that would be really good. So thank you for that. That's it.
Thank you, Pete and the team. Nick's going to come now, talk about the Gamesley Missionary Team, based out of the Jericho CAF. What I like, the St. Luke's Missionary Team you hear, it's a good mixture between come to us and using this building creatively to reach people with the love of Jesus, and going to the people. We're not chucking out all the old traditional ways. We're blending, we're making new things, and we're valuing maybe things we've done for years as well, on those things as well. So I like it. It's a good mixture. This morning is also not just to hear and encourage, it's about recruitment. If you think you want to be part of that team or any of the others, then see our missionary team leaders afterwards. Nick.
Hiya. This place is very special to me because when I walked in for the first time all those years ago, the world was saying no, and you said yes. Your love is the reason I'm stood here today. Cafe and Matt is very much intertwined. What we do in the cafe, there's a lot of crossover. We've got a Matt's team of about 10 people. On a daily basis, we continue to pray for people. A few examples of that. We had a council worker that came in about 6 weeks ago. He had a hiatus hernia, and we prayed for him over the counter, prayed that God would come and heal him. He's been healed, praise God. Had a lady in last week whose husband is abusing her. He's got a gambling addiction, and there's lots of issues there. She asked me to pray for protection for her. And then I had another guy in, not associated with the other lady, who came in last week with a gambling addiction and spoke to me. And he was showing a great desire, something to pray for. It's something we've looked at before, but we really believe we need to have some sort of addictions group. So that is one thing to pray for. Recently, we've had a young man in a Christian rehab who had a alcohol and drug addiction. We had a wonderful event probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago. One of our Cafe Church team members died, and her family came together, and they didn't really want to do a lot about a funeral, and there were some issues and some hurt, some pain, some unresolved stuff. And Andrew very kindly, because he had met Brenda, offered to do the funeral. And then the cafe closed for the day, and we had a buffet afterwards for people to come in. And it was a real community event. People really came, and friends of and family, and both sides of the family that there was a few issues with came together. That was really special. And that lady shared communion for the first time after one of the cafe services. She'd never taken communion and become a Christian. And that was a really special time. There was about 10 of us around the table, and that was wonderful. And that was with the Matt's team. Summer activities, we had we did something in partnership with G52, a group up on Gamesley, where we did a teddy bears picnic, and we provided little food bags for the kids. We had a really fantastic holiday club, thanks to Sandy Mann. She put in so much work, and others in our team, and we did a pirates theme with Bible studies, stories running through that. And out of that, we've had some fruit. We've had some people now come to Cafe Church. There was in that session, there was crafts, there was games, and of course food. Cafe Church continues on the fourth Sunday. As I said, we've just had a few new members. We've had a few disappointments. A few people have walked away. But in the last time we did it, we had seven new people who all wanted to be there. We've done two joint services with Gamesley Church. We see that as bridge building. We see that as a time of healing. So we've not held our service in the cafe. We've gone over to the church with predominantly an older congregation and done some stuff with them. We do Spirit Fall on the third Sunday of each month. That's interdenominational. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of worship. Everybody's welcome to that. Everybody's welcome. It's a really great time, and we've seen stuff happen there. We've been involved in Bonfire Night a week ago, last Thursday. It was up on Gamesley. Huge thanks to our Matt's team. We were incredibly busy. I think we had about 2,500 people through the CAF that night. It was bonkers. And, people just went that extra mile and served. Sorry, no technology here. the future, obviously, we're going to continue the Cafe Church. We believe God's led us to do that, and we need to continue doing that. And we keep sharing the word. We keep praying for people. We're going to continue with Spirit Fall. As I say, everybody's welcome to that. Please come. In a week's time, we've got the festive market up on Gamesley. We'll be open again. We'll be serving. We'll be there around, hanging around, praying for people. We've got our annual Christingle, which is a fantastic event. We usually get about 50 people in the cafe, mostly all non-believers, where we can share the Christmas story. And then on the 11th of December... Are you up for this, Donna? There's a lot in it. On the 11th of December, we're doing a Christmas celebration over at the Jeffrey Allen Centre. And we're working with another group that approached us a couple of weeks ago that do something else at Christmas, the whole Santa thing. And they said, can we join together? And that potentially could be a massive outreach where we've got lots of mums and dads and kids coming. I had a little wobble a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, Lord, what am I doing here? And I see, watching you watch, I'm nearly there.
I'm not. looking at my nails.
Sorry. And I had a little wobble, and a few people doing a bit of empire building around us and stuff. And God said to me, "You're not empire building, you're kingdom building." So that was a little one in the ribs for me. Prayer pointers, as I've mentioned, addictions group. We need to really think that through, but you know, it's stuff's happening. Also, in our group, we've had two family members that have had bereavements in the last month. We've had one of our members who's had a hip replacement, another one with an imminent hip replacement due. It was cancelled just as she was about to have surgery. Had another lady who's had a virus for about 8 weeks and still not very well. Donna's been really poorly this year. She had pneumonia for 3 months, and then the last couple of weeks she's been really off it again, and antibiotics and stuff. So if you could pray for protection and healing, that'd be fantastic. But God's on the move. Amen.
Thanks, Nick. Could I ask our worship band to come and take their places? As they're doing that, just fantastic. You know, this cafe church that they've been running, the cafe brunch, cafe church, that's between 20 and 40 people have been coming to that. I think probably if you totted up all the different...
Hello, I'm Anthony, and I lead the High Street Missionaria team with my wife Susie, who's not here this morning. Before I start, I just want to share a little encounter I had. I went down to the Cenotaph on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, and just as I was standing in silence and praying kind of quietly, I was just kind of struck by the amount of sacrifice that had gone before, so that on that square, where so much of our missionary team's activity takes place, we just got that freedom to do all this. And also struck by the fact that so many people in our town either don't know or haven't registered the kind of ultimate story of sacrifice that their father's done for them. And I think that's kind of given me a bit of renewed motivation, particularly this week. Just want to share a little bit. We're a smallish missionary team. I think we're down to about eight kind of members, and then some associate members who kind of get involved in stuff as well. But we're very much kind of dedicated to the mission that we feel God's placed in our heart. I'll just talk you through some of the activities if you want to flick on, Peter. So one of our main kind of focuses for our prayer and our efforts over the past few years has been street pastors. We've now been going with street pastors for 18 months, or over 18 months now. For those who don't know what street pastors is, it's basically volunteers all coming together from local churches in various towns and cities. I think there's about 270 going around the UK and beyond. But yeah, we're out there in Glossop. We're out 10 p.m. until 2 in the morning. We're just there to care and help people and provide a listening if people are out. And it's just been really encouraging. And I feel like when Andrew was talking about the 72 coming back and sharing with joy, I was out on street pastors last night and just had an amazing experience. We had Tracy, you'll know, and Elaine, and those are there, street pastors. It's not always, you don't always come back full of joy from street pastors, but last night was one of them. It was like one of those that really come together. We had a really good prayer time before we meet in the Ealing Centre. They kind of donate their space so we can kind of meet and have a coffee halfway through. So we've been praying there, and we've been praying for joy on the high street, and it was just a joyful night. There was no conflict, no hostility. We've been building relationships with people in the door staff, the landlords, people working in the takeaways, and it was like everyone we came across was just so pleased to see us. Everyone on the street, even people that we'd had difficult encounters with a few weeks ago, people who were a bit drunk and giving us a bit of stick a few weeks ago, came up to us and wanted their photos taken with us and telling us what a good job we were doing, and we were like, well, that's a bit of a turn away from a few weeks ago. So yeah, we just had a great night, and it just kind of reminded us how much We've built relationships, and the reputation of the team has grown because we're just out there. We're not preaching. We're not being kind of overt about our faith, but just very practically showing Jesus' love with practical help. And we were able to help again last night. We were helping people who, I think there were a few dodgy pints being sold last night because there were quite a few people being ill who needed a bit of water and space blankets to keep them warm because it was bitterly cold as well. It keeps going. We're out there every week, and it's just real witness that there's so many volunteers from this church and other churches in the town who were willing to give up their Saturday nights to go and help people. And it gets us into fantastic conversations with people. We're not out there to overtly share our faith, but people just ask us, what are you doing here? And you can't help but say, well, we're here because we love God, he loves our town, and we love our town as well. So it's fantastic. Just on that note as well, we'd love people to get involved in street pastors. We had a morning the other week where at least two new street pastors have come forward. And we also have prayer pastors volunteering as well. And I think last night we showed the value of prayer pastors. We had a prayer pastor who was kind of remotely praying for us, kind of texting us and asking us what prayer needs there were, praying with us beforehand. And it just is so valuable, just covering the kind of the area that we're going to in prayer before we go. And I think that goes for all the MAT teams. I think they see the same results. If you cover things in prayer, things God turns up and stuff happens. If you don't want to get involved as a street pastor, if you'd like to get involved in a prayer pastor, that'd be great. If you move on to the next one, so Christmas, we've got Friday the 16th of December. This picture here is from last year. This is the fourth year we'll have done our carol crawl. So this is basically going around the pubs and maybe three or four pubs in Glossop and just singing carols. Fourth year, I think that counts as tradition, doesn't it? I think that's ingrained now. This will be going forever. But it is fantastic. I said last week at St James, you don't get many opportunities where you can just walk into a pub, start worshiping, and everyone else joins in with you. So make the most of it. Come and join us, and if all the better if you want to do it in fancy dress. We did that for the first time last year. So I think the St Luke's Matt are going to join us this year, so we will have a few extra camels, maybe a donkey or two or something like that. So, yeah. But yeah, it gets a great reaction. It's that last Friday, kind of working Friday before Christmas, and everyone's in a really good mood. So yeah, it's well worth turning up for that one. We'll also be involved on Wednesday the 21st, kind of early evening. There'll be community carols on the square. So we're going back on the square. And it'll be a simple carol service. And the schools will be invited, so hopefully they'll all be involved. And again, another chance to worship God and kind of enjoy those freedoms that we've got to go and worship God in our public space. Please join us for that and pray into that will go well. Just an encouragement on that front as well. We've been on all the activities we've been doing. We try to involve a lot of the local businesses and build relationships with them. And we kind of try and spread some of that love around. So we've been using various people to provide mince pies and hot cross buns at Easter and things like that. We approached a new bakery this year. I don't know if you know Grains on the High Street, but I'll give them a big plug because they do really good pastry, so well worth going down there. But we've been praying for them. We've said, we're praying for you as a new business, and this is what we do. And we invited them to provide some refreshments for that night. And not only did they say, yeah, we'll do that, and we'll do it at cost, but we want to be involved, and we want to help give stuff out. So that was fantastic that people are so willing to be involved in what we're doing. And then final one is prayer on the square. Now, we've had a real heart for going out and praying for people on our high street for quite a while, and it's something that seems we're a bit apprehensive about it. I don't think any of us in our team are bold out there evangelists or anything like that. But it's definitely been nagging at us. And we've been out a few times, just on an ad hoc basis, and we've just been so encouraged when we've turned up and just made ourselves available, kind of God's done the rest and given us the people to pray for and the right words to pray, and just really led us. So we want to be a bit more intentional about that. We're going to start on the Saturday, the 26th, over lunchtime. We're kind of working out when's the kind of best time for football. So it's probably going to be between about 12 and 2, 2 weeks yesterday, on that 26th. Now, what we're hoping is that if we can get out there and just be there under a banner, with a sign just saying, you know, offering people prayer, that people, nothing too overt, but just that people would come to us and be prayed for. There's so much need out there, and we've seen it on street pastors, how much people appreciate prayer. If you'd like to be involved in that, it would be good if we have a team. Then it might be that we can set that up as a regular thing, either, you know, once a week or even once a month or bi-weekly, whatever. So let us know if you're interested in that, please. And then, yeah, just prayer, kind of generally, prayer needs generally. Just pray for us that we'll kind of grow as a team, in numbers. Hopefully we could do with some more people. But also, yeah, just in our faith and in our boldness. That would be great.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you, Ant. That's brilliant. I love it that you've identified a person of peace, like that scripture with grains. That's fantastic. And prayer on the square, how exciting is that? Doing that, that's brilliant. So thanks, Dan. Finally, we've got our final update from Dorothy's going to do the update for Flame. As you know, Richard and Julia Wilkins lead this team. But you also know that Julia's training for to be a... I can't believe she's doing this. There you go. I know what it is. She's going to be brilliant. To be an Anglican and clergy person. And she's away on a training weekend this weekend. So Dorothy is going to do a fantastic job.
I was just admiring Anne for actually being able to make sense after 5 hours sleep or whatever you managed to get last night.
Yeah, that was
so not everybody can do that after eight, can they? Julia's away on a training course. And I want to say what a great leadership team they are, Julia and Rich, and their vision, their commitment to this. And it's just brilliant to work with them. It's a great team to be on. So we're called Flame, and appropriately enough, our last event was the Light Party, which we held in St. James's Church on All Hallows' Eve, otherwise known as Halloween. And the atmosphere in that church was so different from the atmosphere outside. I'm sure you heard people talking about what they were going to do for Halloween and how grim it was. And it was such a contrast, just the sense of the Holy Spirit at work. And it was an amazingly well-received event. There were 60 children or so there, about 40 adults. And Julia just commented during the week that she has had so many positive comments about that event. It was great fun. And although they are eating donuts there, I do want to make it clear that they were also bobbing for apples. So it wasn't entirely unhealthy. Baptism Families Barbecue, we do this every year. And I was really heartened to hear what Pete was saying about, you know, keeping in contact with baptism parties. And this is part of Whitfield Parish's way of doing this, supporting baptism families, remembering our promise that we will support and care for them as they make their promises. We do a lot of things in the community, and you'll see on the bottom left-hand side last year's Christingle, which we did at Old Glossop. There's a sort of Christmas event in Old Glossop, and we were invited along to do that, and we're going again this year too. So we're really looking forward to that, because making Christingles with children is an opportunity to share the gospel with both parents and children. And it takes a little bit of time to make a Christingle, so there are lots of opportunities for conversations there. So if you could pray into that event, that will be a really effective way of sharing Jesus. The Easter Story Trail, who could forget that? It was just an absolutely amazing event, and it's still bearing fruit. Children are talking to members of our congregation who go in to schools, they're, you know, saying, oh, well, do you remember when, you know, this happened at the Easter story trail? Oh, yes, I recognise that bit of the story. It's just been brilliant. And it's also had fruit among adults too. One little boy was knocked out by the whole thing and said to his mother, you have got to go. She couldn't go in the evening, so she actually made contact and came along in the day. She was given a copy of Luke Acts, went away, and she subsequently made contact with Julia, and she's on Alpha, just really longing to, you know, to find out more about Jesus. Isn't that great? So that's the kind of, you know, fruit that we're seeing. We're aware that we live in a different world these days, and that we have to find ways of being creative in developing people as disciples. So we're at the start of a new phase in that we're looking at ways of enabling people to worship and to have fellowship together in perhaps less traditional scenarios. So for prayer, that's something to pray for our vision for the future, for growing fruit, and for the seeds that have been planted in so many lives that they will take root and grow. And pray for Julia and for Rich in their leadership. And I can honestly say this is a great team to be involved in. Even if you're not a young person with young children of their own, it's just fantastic being involved in this team. So if you'd like to be involved, come and ask me.
Brilliant. Thank you.
That's great. I'm on that team, and just two really quick stories that I want to share with you. The Baptism's Barbecue, one of the great joys for me on that was that two young women in their early 30s took the microphone to share their testimonies. These were people that had come to know Jesus through the work of Flame and so forth, and were brave enough to say, I brought my kids for baptism. I didn't really know what I was doing, but this is what's happened to me since. And that was so encouraging. And the second one was, there was a science event up there that we ran in St. James's School just for dads, just for dads and their kids. And the guy that ran it did a brilliant science afternoon. And he shared why he is a Christian who believes in Jesus and why he is a scientist with people. And at the end, I bought 10 books saying, Before You Say You Don't Believe. And it's a really full-on book challenging atheists and agnostics. And I gave the challenge to the dads there, and five atheist or agnostic dads came up and took the book at the end. I don't know what's happened. I don't know whether they've read it. I don't know if one day in 2 years' time they're going to read it. But I was encouraged. These things happen all the time. I hope from this morning you've seen that God is using these teams and all the other things that we do in our churches of a traditional and in a new way to reach hundreds of people with his love each year. And we just want to see them make decisions for Jesus. If you include the Easter story trail this year, we can say thousands. We can do that for a year, can't we, on there. And cumulatively, it is amazing how God can work in people's lives. Before we have our final hymn, I'd just love us to pray. Could you stand up if you're a mission area team leader, please, or leaders that are here? Dorothy, can you come and stand up here in lieu of Julia and Richard, so we know that we've got there. Pete stood up there at the back. We've got our five that are here. It's a very vulnerable position to be in what we're doing, and I've got to be really honest. As senior leader in the parish, this is a vision that I believe God birthed in me and that I brought to you, supported by PCC, supported by many in the church and so forth. I'm really vulnerable doing this. I'm really vulnerable. I'm stepping out. I've staked a lot of my leadership and relationship on God, on leading us into this. But I just want to say, in that vulnerability, God has really helped me to grow. And I think it's probably the same for these. I know proxy leader there. But I know for these leaders that have done that as well. There's a vulnerability as you do this. We get some stuff wrong, we get some stuff right, but we've seen the Lord grow. If there's any other people in mission area teams here that want to go and join their leaders now, could you do that? I'm aware there may not be, but so I know that there's some people from the St. Luke's area. Could you go and stand by your leader if you're in a mission area team here? I know that there's people away. I know there's many people from St. James's that are in mission area teams. So if you could sort of cluster together. And friends, I'm going to ask you, who aren't in missionary teams at the moment, just to show your support for these people. If you want to go and stand with Whitfield, stand with Whitfield. If you want to stand with Gamesley, if you want to stand with Flame, if you want to stand with St. Luke's area, if you want to stand with High Street. This is brilliant. Elaine's a street pastor. She's not in the High Street team officially, but she's an associate member because of that work. It's brilliant. This can be done as well. Could I ask you to stand from your seats, if you're able to, and go and cluster around one of these teams as I lead us in prayer to show your support, one that resonates with you and you want to pray for today. I'm just going to lead us in prayer for them. This is brilliant. Thank you, brothers and sisters, standing with people. This is amazing. Okay, Heavenly Father, I believe this is a parish vision under you. And Lord, I would pray that you would send your power and send your support on these leaders and teams. Lord, we long to see our town reached and transformed with your love. We long to see people make a decision for Jesus. We long to see lives and the culture impacted through your renewing resurrection work. Just fall upon these people now, encourage them, and encourage us in the callings that you've given us. Send your spirit now, encourage us this morning. Show us what you would have for us in our lives and the lives of these teams and the wider life of our parish. Lead us on so that we may grow as disciples and we may grow in our sense of mission. And Lord, I pray specifically for these leaders that have stood here and for Rich and Julia who can't be here this morning. For Joyce with the Whitfield Breeze team. For Susie with the High Street team. Lord, may your spirit fall upon them. Give them real wisdom. When they feel vulnerable, build them up, Lord, and fill them with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to say what it is. If any of you also feels like they've got a specific calling, maybe you go into residential homes, maybe you go into schools, maybe you've got a job that's a calling, could you just put up your hand now? You just put up your hand now, if you have a specific calling outside of this, but okay. Lord, we pray for all the other callings there are in this church. Maybe people are too shy to acknowledge them. All the voluntary organisations, all the family callings that you've given us, all the work callings that you've given us, your calling to live in this town and to glorify you. We pray, Lord, you would equip us for every good work you've called us to. And Lord, for those of us that struggle to know our role, our calling, who you're asking us to be at this chapter in our lives, Lord, may your spirit fall on us this morning so that we will be clear in our callings. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end in praise, as we always do. So the worship band are going to come and lead us. And I think the offering will be taken during this final hymn. There you go, I remembered that. The side people will be amazed that I remembered that. It just popped into my head.